Welcome to the Heart Soul Wisdom Podcast, a journey of self-discovery and transformation. Moira Sutton and her amazing guests share real-life stories, tools, and strategies to inspire and empower you to create and live your best life. Come along on the journey and finally blast through any fears, obstacles, and challenges that have held you back in the past, so you can live your life with the joy, passion, and happiness that you desire. Now, here's your host, Create the Life You Love Empowerment Life Coach, Moira Sutton.
Welcome to Season 3, Episode 60, Aligning with Your Divine Plan and Soul Mission, with our special guest all the way from Prague, Stephen James. Stephen is the founder of the Heart Initiation Academy and is on a mission to heal hearts and align souls with their divine plan. He is the author of the book, My Ecstatic Rebirth, The 10 Keys to Unleash Your Power, Purpose, and Pleasure. He's currently writing his second book, The True Divine Self, A Journey to Truth, which explains his own awakening journey and the discovery of truth via his I Am consciousness or higher self. Let's just jump in because there's so much to say about Stephen and I want to get going. So without further ado, it's my pleasure to introduce you to Stephen James. Welcome, Stephen.
Hi, Moira. Thanks for the intro and thanks so much for having me on today. I've been looking forward to this for many weeks now.
Yeah, this is going to be exciting. And as we just said before we began, Steve and I were talking about having him back. I would like to have him back in the new year because he's doing such big work in the world. And as you just heard, you know, what his whole mission to heal hearts and align souls with their divine plan and where our world is right now, especially anytime that's important. So let's just dive in. Okay, Stephen. Can you share your big why, why you wrote this book, My Ecstatic Rebirth, The 10 Keys to Unleash Power, Purpose, and Pleasure? And how long was this in the making and creating? And tell us just how that really fits into this puzzle of your mission.
So why? It's going to be probably quite a long answer. This just goes back to where I start, really. But probably 10 years ago, when I was 28, I'm 38 now. So 28, traditionally, I think people come to realize that the Saturn return comes around, I think, 27, 29 years of age. And if you're into astrology, you kind of know that's big. And a lot of people I've met on who've really gone on a spiritual journey do tend to start around that age. And for me, it was no different. And before then, I was quite just a normal dude that you would meet, on the street in London, where I was living at that point. And I'm British born. And so back at 28, I was an entrepreneur and I wanted to do something that was a bit more different. So I started a magazine for men and women about relationships, which is called Raw Attraction Magazine. And that came through divine meeting with someone I would call it. And I had a magazine for men and he suggested I do one for men and women. Anyway, so I felt the co-creation with the universe through that. And then through what I would call good journalism, because sometimes there's not particularly good journalism in the world, but there are some good journalists out there. And I was editing the magazine for many years and putting together some of the best educators about sacred sexuality, self-love, what it really meant to be in relationship with a woman and vice versa, woman to man. And being the first one out there in any magazine that I've ever seen that was putting both men and women on the same page and having a conversation about what is actually going on between us. And that led me to start a podcast. And then I got into a relationship soon after that because I was essentially looking for the right partner for myself because I wanted a good relationship. And all of that led to an awakening journey. 3 years later, 2015, I realized that it was all inner work. I mean, I was starting to realize that with the people I podcast with, because I podcast with Teal Swan first, and she kind of blew my mind open.
Oh, yes.
And then various other people came on. JP Sears came on the podcast, and some just great guests that are probably less well known to people, but they're just really high level kind of people, as I'm sure you have in your podcast. And so all of that led to me into I'm in a relationship in 2015, and it's not the same one I'm in now, but it was a mirror relationship, and it was a shamanic relationship from my point of view. And I met my mentor at that time, who was an elder woman from Colorado, a shamaness who was doing shamanism on the cosmos, like clearing things from the astral realms. And then I ended up getting involved with her because she was the wisest woman I've ever met in my life, and it's mentioned in my book. And the tools that she was using was around the higher self. Anyway, so the book, long story short, came out of a lot of that journey. That even that first 3 years, I was learning a lot, and I realized the people around me, the friends at that time, they weren't learning a lot. They were in normal jobs, and I was sort of writing for the people who wanted to come over to the bridge and understand how to lay a foundation for self-growth and self-awareness and self-love, and just healing in general, because there was a lot of pain inside me, and it took a lot of many years to get it out and heal my own heart. And through that pain and through that journey, I realized that there was these 10 keys, and those are in the book, starting with self-love and healing the past, emotional mastery, communication mastery, understanding the inner feminine and inner masculine, which is possibly the hardest part of the journey. Those two, they've been bastardized in culture so much, it's unreal. And then, a few other chapters on vision, creating the vision, unconditional love, and death and rebirth. And then we finish up with sacred sexuality. So I felt those 10 things, I think I hit them all, they gave me the foundation that I needed. So I wanted to give that back to others. And, it's through that was, that's really my why. It took, my first draft of the book was probably in 2015. And then I was editing it 5 years. That came out as an audio book in 2020. And now I'm just about to release a workbook version, probably in a few weeks, which I've been editing the audio book for another 2 years into a workbook and adding things to make it more like interactive. So you have it and you can write in it, and rather than having the transmission from the audiobook. So they have both. Because it's really about doing that in the work, and it's not a book you can just read and sort of do nothing with it. It's either if you want to do the healing journey, which I'm sure your listeners do, then you're gonna have to start going on it some way, and that takes action. So does that sum up the question?
That's just beautiful. And yeah, it never stops. And I think once you start that journey, there's no turning, the doors that you open, it's not like you can close them, because now you have this awareness as you're growing. And and with the writing, I just wondered, because I'm also writing a book, The Universe is Calling You, an inward sacred journey to your heart, soul, and self-love. And that's been in the makings for about 5 years, and it's coming up before the end of the year. But let's just go back to what you said about the relationship you were in, the mirroring. What do you mean by that?
Well, at that point, it was mirroring me a lot of pain. And so I grew up in a household when I was younger, which in my teenage years, mainly, I've got three younger brothers. For me, it was my teenage years, but it hit two of my younger brothers much younger. But there was just a lot of tension and fighting in the house, going through a divorce, watching my parents go through a divorce. And it was clear to me, being a teenager and having a bit more self-awareness and thinking things through, that, you know, these parents of mine didn't really have the tools to navigate the situation via conscious communication or any of that. They seemed to be in their own trauma and acting that out. And, you know, through realizations that that was the case. I mean, I didn't get that when I was 16, but I got some of it. And through that, you know, the two relationships that I had when I was very young, like 18 to 21, were just traumatic. And then I had a big gap between that and the next relationship. And so this one at 29, 30 years old, yeah, 29, 30, 31, was the first real one that I consider myself an adult. And I thought because I'd done 2 or 3 years on the healing journey, I thought, yeah, I must be healed by now. Clearly not. The amount of pain running through me, and it invoked a crisis within me, that an existential crisis that I was literally on my balcony at one point in, I think, spring 2014, asking the universe, please, God, help me awaken from this, because this is, and heal myself, because this is too much. I felt I was too old to be in that much trauma still. I just, the age I was like 30, and I was like, how am I not healed by now? So I really wanted to be healed. And there was a lot of mirroring going on, because what my mentor was telling me at that stage of my journey was, you know, all your partner is doing is mirroring the feminine within you. And any pain that she is displaying, you need to take responsibility for in order to raise your inner integrity. And when you do that, you will align more with your divine plan, because you're taking responsibility for your own healing. And that's it. That, in a nutshell, is the keys to the universe, because once you start doing that process, which is not easy, because especially back in 2015, when we were doing this, there was a lot of opposition to healing on the astral realms. And your listeners and yourself may know about that, and it's been well documented in recent years, and also way back when, like, I know Sri Aurobindo, for example, one of the yogis, was talking a lot about it. And so we would encounter these things that didn't want us to do the healing, and we would have to clear them. And it was insane, to say the least. All I can say is it would drive anyone insane. Apart from my mentor, it seems she could handle it more than anyone I've ever met. But me being young and sort of, I don't know, a crazy soul, I just went headfirst into it, and I was helping her and channeling her partner, who had died a few years previously. He was old. He was about 72 when he passed, but still, I had to channel him through, and it was just a crazy year of clearing stuff from the astral. And it was such an existential crisis, because one, I didn't think we would get to the end of it, and be able to actually hold this sacred union within, which my mentor calls it, and I call it this holy trinity within, the divine masculine of yourself, divine feminine of yourself, and the holy inner child in your own being. Those, in most people, are wounded. I've re-edited it in my book slightly to talk about it more from the perspective of most people out there, and their wounded masculine, their wounded feminine, their wounded inner child. This is why especially the inner child, is the easiest one to notice, because the wounded inner child in someone is the place where someone got arrested in development. And you see most adults are not capable of emotional mastery, but it takes a really a person who's been down the healing path to have good emotional mastery, especially at a younger age, say under 40 or 50. Older people tend to not care so much. My dad, for example, but
you don't know, because like my life has been a spiritual path from very young, seeing spirit and going through years of being scared about ghosts and things like that, because no one believed me. and then they just kept coming to me and talking to me. And when they said my name, when I first had those experiences, that freaked me out. It was like, oh my God, they know my name. They're not just there. But you know, and then my family said, don't talk about that. No one's going to date you, you know? And I thought, I got to a point that I said, I don't really care. Like if somebody can't accept my belief system and who I am, then I'm not changing for them. This is who I am.
I'm glad you thought. That reminds me of my first girlfriend when I on a second, but around 19 years old, she could see ghosts. Mm-hmm. And I believed her.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a matter of open-mindedness. If people want to go on the journey, I mean, this journey isn't for everyone.
No.
Certainly only a small percentage at the moment may start opening up when people start asking for help. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm an empath by nature. Yep. And mm-hmm. walking around Prague at the moment, the city, people look really on edge from a psychological, emotional and spiritual sense. That's really like they can't take much more of whatever weird stuff is going to come out, considering what's happened in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Which is part of all part of the Great Awakening. And one key that these people and anyone should be working on is their wounded inner child. And that was one of the first pieces of work that I did with my mentor that kind of almost fully convinced me to work with her, because we just did a piece where I was working on my wounded inner child, which was at a age of around a few months old. So my mentor gave me the idea or concept, it's a better way to say it, that you have an inner child, and when it's a divine inner child, it is 84 months old. That's ideally what, if you were raised by divine parents, by 7 years old, you would be extremely mature, and you wouldn't really be triggered by anything throughout your rest of your life if you could hold that. Not triggered by much anyway. When you can hold that maturity, inner maturity within yourself, then you're in a really strong place. But that takes time and self-awareness to know when you've been triggered back down to a lower age, because you can't get triggered back down even if you've held set like an 84-month age, inner age. And this sounds like this is, to most people listening, is a concept because you haven't tried it out. But when I try it out with myself and my clients, the concept proves itself to be true. And my mentor was using finger dowsing a lot, which is a highly recommended thing to learn, because you can ask questions to the universe and get yes, no answers on your body. Mm-hmm. And you work out all this stuff. So she figured that out. I went along with it at that point, and it turned out to be true, because I was in a total and utter mess. I was with this ex-partner of mine, or I actually like to call them former reflections of my inner self, or masculine self, whatever you want to call it. Former inner reflections is a better way to speak of an ex-partner who was significant in your healing process, I think. So this was happening, and I was triggered by my own self, I guess, but it was in that world, it seemed like she was triggering me and putting me in a crisis, because I wouldn't take responsibility for myself. But when I did take responsibility for myself, I went to my mentor, and then we did some healing around my inner child and raised the inner child age. Up to that point, after the first session, it was about, I went to 2 years old. There's no point jumping straight to seven because you won't feel the difference. But I went up to 2 years old and I was able to function, like speak properly and shower myself. At the other point, I really wasn't. And then we did another session a week or so later and it went up to 7 years old. And there was a dramatic difference. And I was like, okay, this stuff is real. And then I just went, did more work with her. And it was, you know, a long process of raising the inner integrity of the masculine to awaken your inner feminine. And that's the same for both sexes. It doesn't matter what gender you identify as or whatever is going on. If you're a human being, then you have this inner masculine, this inner feminine. And she was the first one, and she still says it today. It's the story of Sleeping Beauty. You, no matter what human you are biologically, that you have to wake up your divine feminine via your divine masculine. And that's the process of raising your inner integrity via the I am self, via the higher self.
Oh, there's so much you said there. I've got like five questions from what you've said, but let's just go to the last one. Yeah. You do have, and I did read that you said it to start with the masculine. You had to go masculine first before you went to do the feminine. I think that's how I went through your book and your program. But you have to do the masculine first before the feminine. Is that correct?
Yeah. It doesn't mean the feminine is disappeared or isn't there. It's mm-hmm. it's just like I would, as we said before, we started this, you know, learning to dance, and I dance salsa pretty well, a Colombian style salsa. It's the male who, it's the masculine who leads, the male who leads. It would be weird and extremely strange, and for me to be led by a woman on the dance floor, just doesn't particularly work. And I think when we come down to our core true natures as men and women, a woman has to surrender more, especially in a sexual experience. And the man tends to be more of a leader. Now, when we're identifying with our wounded selves, that whole conversation, and most of the planet would have the conversation in such a wounded way. You can imagine what they would do on most of these primetime TV channels and having that conversation. It would just be disastrous, probably. When we are thinking of our highest selves, then we can begin to recognize and also see in nature that it's normally the masculine that's leading. And that is good to know for both genders, because it certainly led, if I have my mentor on the call with us, she would be speaking from her point of view as a woman, that it's, you know, it's given her everything, all her power back, and more alignment with her divine plan, access to her higher consciousness, where, you know, she would say a lot, and I say it a lot as well, that the consciousness is the masculine part and the feminine is the body. I'm pretty sure I say it in my book. Mm-hmm. So this consciousness, this higher consciousness, the I am self, which is, can be considered more masculine, combined with the body and also the soul, is more feminine. It's just wants to feel more and have these experiences down there. It's considered more feminine if we tap into the truth of the dynamic of the soul. And so when this higher self consciousness, the I am self, and in scripture, whether it's the Bible or the Nag Hammadi scriptures, talk about the I am and the importance of the I am, I think it's slightly taken out of context in the Bible. which I'm going to be mentioning in my next book. I might even put briefly about it in the workbook. But for example, Jesus says, I'd have to pull up the exact Bible quote, but people will know it. You know, one of the things he said is, I am the way, I am the life. And, you know, these, for me, he could also be saying, the I am is the way and the life and the way to the path to the truth, which I believe to be true. You don't have to, in my opinion, usurp your power to Jesus, to Christ. Yeah, you can, because Christ, for me, just if you had a mathematic equation, Christ is exactly equal to the truth. So whoever is embodying Christ consciousness is embodying truth consciousness. And so if you want to tap into that consciousness, which is more masculine, which is why Jesus was depicted as a man, so you have to activate that. You have to start a conversation with your I am. You have to pick up the phone to your I am. You have to call out to your I am and start to get to know him or this consciousness. And then start, you know, the process of awakening your feminine with the call integrity I am. And this is a lot of, I mean, this is top level I'm going at the moment. This is something I would be probably saying to a new client who was coming on board with me. But yeah, there's a lot of subtleties, and you have to know finger dowsing to go through this process. You kind of need to, at this point, still need to know how to clear energies, because there's energies. If you can't clear energies, which my current partner can do, who I've been together 2 years now, she could clear energies, and I knew that when I met her, and that was a rarity for me. I didn't expect to meet anyone younger than me who could clear stuff. But if you can, and simply you're sending things back to source, then you can do this probably on your own, but you have to be pretty far advanced down the journey to be able to do it. You need that combination of connecting with the I am, finger dowsing, and the ability to clear things when they're sort of in the way. These energetics, you have to be aware enough that these energetics exist. So this is playing with fire, really, because you're going down a path and you can't really go back. It's like going down Alice in Wonderland's hall. Mm-hmm. And it's not for everyone. I think there are other ways probably to get close to aligning with your divine plan, but this is the most clear way for me that I've found. And I think, yeah, there are many paths up the mountain though, so who knows. I'd like to meet other people who have done it different ways. Certainly would love to meet them.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about one thing you shared, and thank you, Stephen, is okay, that there must be a choice made in the individual's divine plan as carried by their I am self to bring to completion the illusion of separation, the lies and illusions of separation were each agreed to us by over our many embodiments. How do we awaken from this game and this illusion? A lot of people, I know my own work, I know that we're not separate, and that's what I also teach. But how does a person start to remember who they truly are and get out of that box of this illusion of separateness? Big question.
Well, they need some map, mm-hmm. which is why I'm writing this next book. They need some map of what is true. Mm-hmm. And they need certain tools. Like that quote you came from did come from my former mentor, whose website, by the way, is roseoflight.com. If anyone wants to check out her finger dowsing course, it's like $49, which is, and it's worth millions. So that's worth checking out. But
we'll add it into the links below.
Yeah. So so back to your question, which was on how people find them, get out of separated consciousness. Yeah, they need a map, and they need trust, and they need faith. And faith will essentially guide the soul on their own healing journey, because the soul, if activated by just your conscious self, let alone the higher self, saying, remember what I said earlier, back in 2014, I called out to the universe asking to be healed. If someone calls out, then that's the part, start of the journey. They have to want that from the first place. Let's suppose they want that. Then they're going to need, to be given the right map of what the true divine self is, which, I've put together via being on this journey, which I see as the double holy trinity within. So imagine again what I said earlier, the holy trinity within, which is the divine masculine, divine feminine, and the inner child. And then you've got the heart is really at the center of this. I can send you a picture of this, perhaps put in the notes comments if it's possible somewhere,
for sure.
And then in the top half, you've got the great I am, the I am, and then the soul in a holy trinity. Now they're kind of just a mirror reflection of each other.
Yeah, that would be lovely there, Stephen. Can you share the way that you say the I am that I am mantra that you share in your divine course, divine plan? I would love people to hear that.
We just pull it up.
Yes, thank you. It's just beautiful and powerful.
There's a longer version that I think I put in there with help from my mentor. Got it here. So okay. So, yeah, there's a way to call into your higher self, and this is done through these what we call calls. The type of mantra. When I've done talks about this in person, I bought these olden telephone that my nan, I think my parents used to have it in the house, but I remember my grandmother having it, these olden like 1960s phones, and with the dial on it where you have to put the finger in. And I pick up the phone and I say, okay, you have to pick up the phone to your higher self and start calling out to the higher self. So this is one of those calls that you can invoke your divine plan and your higher self at the same time. And it goes like this. I am that I am, calling myself into full alignment with my divine plan now, calling my entire being into alignment with my divine plan now. So be it. So it is. Anchor, lock, and seal, I am. Now, the last bit might sound a little strange, and it did to me when I first said it, but it kind of just puts a hard punctuation mark on the end of what you're saying. So it's like over and out, sort of in a military sense, if you know that saying. And the first part is activating the I am. When you say I am that I am, that activates the I am, and you're calling yourself into full alignment, your whole being into alignment with your divine plan. Now that is a big step for yourself to start doing it for yourself each day. You can do that. And then when you feel right, you can just cut that short call down, the long call down to a short call by saying divine plan aligned I am. And, just get used to saying that each day. And then you can use that for specific things. So, you might have a business meeting tomorrow and you used to say divine plan aligned, I am this business meeting before you go in. It just gives you it's like course correcting your ship. Just if you feel like you want a little extra alignment or help from the divine, then it's the perfect thing to do any time of the day and any point in the day. I use it all the time. Although I get to the point where it gets to the point where you don't need to say it out loud, but that's after a few years. You can just think it in your head. But if you're in a public place and you just, you know, don't feel like saying it out loud, you can by all means just say it in your head. And I use that call in a shortened version with my dowsing to make sure I'm aligned, because I test at that point. The ideal thing to do after you've said this is then test on your fingers, am I aligned with my divine plan as fully as I can be at this moment? And you get a yes or a no. The reason why you might get a no is because of the, as I said, astral interference before, which is still there. And I can't answer when that will be finished, but all I can say is it's very easy to navigate compared to what it was 7 years ago. As I said earlier, it was a disaster. I would have my soul ripped out. I'd have my masculine ripped out. I'd have my inner child massacred in a astral sense. It was insane. Now it's like nothing. So there are things, but it's like dust compared to what we were experiencing before. And I credit, well, I did clear some things, but there's been shamans all around the world. I'm not saying I'm the only one, and certainly my mentor is doing more than a fair share. So I credit people who have been working on the astral realms, and I've met a few of them who, you know, all worked on this, and the light workers who powered the light out there for people to do this type of work and work similar to it. So credit to those people. So yeah, that's one way to start using this work. If you are sort of freaked out and never heard about all this astral stuff before, then it's not something to particularly be worried about. It's just if you want to get more refined in using these types of tools, then you have to kind of navigate that. It's just the way it is at this point. And like I was trying to say, then I don't know when that ends. And I don't think there's a point where if 1,000 shamans worked at the same time, which they kind of are already, to clear everything, that everything will be cleared from everyone's journey, because we will have our soul karmas and little things that need to be ironed out, and we all have to take responsibility for those things. So it would seem to me that that will probably be the case for a while, at least. I don't know how long that while is. Not God in that sense. I can't see everything, but the part of myself that can't see a lot can see that at least. I think, you know, this is the part when you are sort of going into these realms of the I am self and divine masculine, divine feminine, it doesn't mean you, I think for maybe new people listening, or they get worried that they'll lose themselves on this journey, but this is really about finding yourself. I haven't lost any part of myself. It's all still there. Like people from school will probably remember me as a funny guy. I still have that part of my personality and try to bring it forth when I can. Like I consider myself still similar to that guy back then, but I've just developed and evolved and become found more parts of myself, so I can bring more to the table when I, you know, meet someone or in a conversation like this with you. I can bring this multitude canvas, this kaleidoscope rainbow version of myself, because he's been through so much to understand his own self. So I can answer questions on anything pretty much. So it's really about finding yourself and expanding yourself, being more self-aware. And then ultimately, back to the why at the beginning, why you asked me why, is what I briefly mentioned, because I wanted the best relationship possible in my life. And I do have that now. Like it couldn't be any better with my partner that we'll create a family together with soon. And so, you know, as well as wanting all of that for others. So I wrote it in a book so that people can also have the best relationships in their life and best partnership with their partner, build the best family that they can, and you know, build the best world that they can ultimately, because the divine plan, your divine plan, your individual divine plan is your own heaven on earth. So when you pull that down, that makes it better for everyone. So why wouldn't I want you to pull that down? I want you to pull that down, because if you create the best thing ever, then you share it with other people. That's just the way humans are at the most divine core. So if thousands and millions and then eventually billions of people are pulling down the divine plan and making heaven on earth, that's why you live in crazy world in a good sense. And you'll still be the fullest version of yourself, or you will be. And so this is how we create the new world. I don't even want to use the word utopia, because that word has been sort of, I don't know, people have weird meanings attached to that word. What I would call it is, you know, a new world, which is aligned with the divine plan, which is completely different to what this is, and what any human has ever experienced, probably, unless there were things prehistory that we don't even know what happened, but certainly, you know, in known history, we'll be creating a new earth, and it's happening now.
Mm-hmm. Like Eckhart Tolle talks about the new earth, and yes, in the Ukraine and Russia, there has to be a breakdown, I believe, before you can create that new way of being between the countries, and to bring peace and love and compassion and all those things. But the other has to break down first, so you have a new foundation.
Yeah, I mean, I could speak for another hour what is going on geopolitically, because I know quite a lot. I don't know everything, because I'm not a military general in you know, the British Army or something. But from what I can tell, yeah, there is a lot going on behind the scenes, and it's a global war. And not just a localized war. It's been a war, open war, for a couple of years now on the populace of the whole planet, pretty much, with fear and insane agendas, and you know, putting humanity under so much stress for little to no reason, based upon what I've seen. And so I think justice will come, and justice needs to be served so that it awakens more people. And justice, from what I can see, is starting to come through. You won't find it on the mainstream news. It's all full of lies, but there is justice coming through. And this is the divine plan coming through. There's justice for all the children that have suffered in this world, from people like the Falun Gong, who've had their organs harvested for just being kind of their yogis, essentially. In China, to recent history of my great grandfather and grandfather, you know, having to go to wars they shouldn't have been, had to go through, the financial system mess, just so many things that I consider crimes and most rational people consider crimes, need to be accounted for and given justice. Or, you know, I think this is where this balance, and I'm a Libra, needs to come in, because people won't even think, the average person won't even think about the divine plan if they see a lot of injustice, and the justice is not calm, or they don't even believe that. So it's probably the vast number of people don't even think there's crimes that need to be, you know, held accountable for. When there are, there's a lot. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, you talk about the chaos before peace, this is part of it, I think. And what is happening in Ukraine and between Ukraine and Russia, I think it's all part of it. It's all connected. in one sense, as we assume we're all one. It's all connected to all the crimes. So truth needs to come out. That needs to be first and foremost, and then the justice needs to come on top of that truth, and that will provide redemption for everyone. And then through that, we can start looking at healing for people who want to be healed. And through work like you're doing and I'm doing and your guests are doing and your listeners are doing, that make it possible. So thank you for everyone doing their inner work, because every person doing their inner work is incalculably valuable. We all thank you for doing your work.
Yes, I agree. And there's a lot of light workers on the planet, and we are doing the work, and there is shifts happening. Let's talk about forgiveness, which is a hard one for people, and how that plays, like segueing from what we just talked about as a healing modality, and to bring humanity closer and to heal between genders, masculine, feminine, within our own being. Forgiveness is a biggie.
The inner child, which is probably the first thing, because once you have got your inner child to a mature enough age, then you realize you're able to start forgiving, because before that, you're normally in some kind of emotional reactive mode, and you need to get out of that at least a little bit before you can come to the forgiveness. When you do that, there's another, let's say, ritual or process that I do with people who work with me, which my mentor taught me, which essentially came from her. I am self, her higher self taught her to do this. She always used to tell me, you know, it's not her that will enlighten me about my I am self. It's my own I am self that will enlighten me about my I am self. So anyway, she got this, and it's essentially sending forgiveness to your higher self and processing it through your higher self. Now, there are other ways to do it, because you kind of, again, you need to know finger dowsing to be able to do this, to get it to 100% and clear anything getting in the way of it. And you also need to know which part of you is forgiving, which part of you normally, it's, you know, it's masculine to feminine or feminine to masculine, but you just need to know which way around it is. So it's not too complicated. But then you need to send that forgiveness as being witnessed by your higher self. And then your higher self begins to process it. As I say in the book, and noted by my mentor and her former partner, who were probably the first ones to get this, that your higher self needs to be the one that processes things down here fully. Otherwise, you end up going around in circles. And until something's 100% processed via the higher self, then it's you're going to get circles. So forgiving via the higher self, with what's called, I call the forgive I am, and sending up to your higher self the value of this process or of whatever you're going through. So say it's, I've got to forgive my partner for reacting harsher than I wanted her to react when I didn't do the washing up. You know, base level thing, the washing up is never about the washing up. And so is everything in life. There's always deeper things going on when it comes to reactions. And washing up is no different. So you start getting into the inner work. That might also be a piece around the inner child as well. You kind of have to identify which part of you needs to forgive. Perhaps you were pressured as a child as to doing the washing up and you didn't want to do it. And then there's a forgiveness dynamic, inner dynamic between your inner child and your masculine or feminine, which were acting as your parents at that point. So you have to be very self-aware to know which part of you is forgiving which part of you, based upon the map. I don't think it's just what works by forgiving someone outside of your own self. You have to do all inner work. Forgiving, say, your I don't know, teacher for not teaching you the things you wanted to. Yeah, you can do it, but then forgiving it via your higher self that you were put in that situation because of God's plan and you didn't want to be there. You're essentially, when you do a forgive, I am a forgive by forgiveness via the higher self, you're doing a more full and complete forgiveness process on an energetic level because you're taking everything into account because the I am sees everything. If that makes sense. It might sound a little bit advanced, but it's not too advanced when you actually get into the process. You kind of just need someone to guide you along it. But forgiveness in general and the other forgiveness processes are extremely important because it means you're starting to take responsibility for the situation and you want to move in part of the forgiveness process because you're doing it. There's part of you that wants to move on from it. So you want to create something new with this person or whoever it is, or company, or, you know, government, or whatever it is. You are offering them almost a peace flag. Say, okay, I want to move on from this. I forgive you. And also forgiving yourself in the process for anything that you brought to the table that created the situation, because by all means, you are creating your life all the time and you are creating the situation on some level. So this is why when you take it all inner work, you're doing it properly and you won't stop. You will stop going around in circles because you're doing the process with all parts of you via the inner work. Doing it with external things is only going to have, from my experience, limited effect. It's better than doing nothing, but still, like, you want a full forgiveness process that works 100% all of the time.
Oh, I'm taking so much in, and I know when I did your divine plan and read your book, and that it was interesting what came up for myself, that, you know, what I thought with one of my inner child when I was born and in the womb and all the rest, I thought I would go to, if I went intellectually, which you don't do, after I thought I would go to that event. And then I went to another event. Then I went to this event. So there was lots of healing that still needs there. And it ties into security and almost my mom dying when she gave birth to me. I came early into the world and that whole connection. So your work is extremely powerful. And there's so many places I want to go. And I kind of knew this, Stephen, that we wouldn't get there. We'll have to have you back. But I would like to, first of all, ask if you can read an excerpt from your book regarding the divine plan for our lives. I think that would be really nice to start to close our first heartfelt conversation with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this comes from actually the glossary of the new book workbook that I'm coming out with soon. And it's the exact definition of the divine plan, kind of co-created with my mentor and myself. So I'll read it now.
Thank you.
The divine plan for our lives and our world comes from a pristine, high place of conscious creation. It comes via our I am self. The divine plan takes into account much more than our consciousness can comprehend. The divine plan extends beyond the boundaries of the ego considerations of our lives. Our divine plan gives us access to a huge amount of protection from our vulnerability to forces in our world that are not benign. We do not need to know what is on our divine plan to align with it. To know that its only purpose in being there is for our benefit is enough to align with it and receive that benefit. The divine plan allows your soul to surrender and trust in the divine. The ego simply has to let go. The divine plan allows you to have a more expanded experience of life on this planet. Once you know how to align with your divine plan, your journey becomes a beautifully infinite experience with God.
Just taking that all in. Thank you, Stephen. Okay, take a deep breath. Stephen, such a beautiful conversation, and we will have another heart. I'd like to start the new year for people to share, to hear more about your work and your workbook and everything, because you're doing such divine work in the world, and it's so powerful. Stephen, I have each guest share the special gift that each guest would like to share with the listeners today. I'm going to put all the links below in the show notes where you can reach Stephen, his programs, his upcoming book, also your mentors, the link to that, everything we talked about today. So if you could share that, that would be lovely.
Yeah, and just before I go, I just want to say that, yeah, this podcast may have been a little overwhelming because I went just dive in like I was given the opportunity kindly by Moira. And if it was overwhelming, the book is less overwhelming because it's structured into these 10 chapters. So if you go to the links that Moira has given, there's at the moment, there's the book, 5 chapters of the book for free, and it's only about $7, I think, at the moment to get the full book in the audio form. And it gives everything, you know, in a very structured way. And as I was saying to one of my clients the other day, we all must remember on this journey that it's not one person, it's not me that's going to heal you on your journey. Ultimately, you are the one that heals yourself, but there's going to be multitudes of souls that come in to help you on this journey. I recommend to everyone to get a body worker for massage to heal their bodies. It's really important to do that. And, you know, all types of different healings out there and your soul will be called to the right people. Yes, I do think my book and my work can help guide you, guide your soul, activate your higher self to do these things more with more grace. That's kind of the bridge that I'm providing, I think. But there's a beautiful ecstatic, as my book title says, my ecstatic rebirth. There's an ecstatic rebirth waiting for you on your soul journey. And I wish everyone the best of luck and joy and bliss on their journey.
That's wonderful. And we're going to put down for the divine self map and all the things below here. And I really, really thank you from my heart and soul. And I want to thank you for sharing from your heart and soul, your wisdom on aligning with your divine plan and soul mission. Namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you for listening to the Heart Soul Wisdom Podcast with Moira Sutton. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please join our community at moirasutton.com and continue the discussion on our Facebook page, Create the Life You Love. You will be part of a global movement connecting with other heart-centered people who are consciously creating the life they love on their own terms. Together, we can raise our consciousness for the greater good of humanity and for our planet.